You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
All right, so we have Mr. Yorching here. Right, there's a gentleman we spoke to a while back concerning the whole CPEP business. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
All right, nice.
Good afternoon, Trey and Tobago.
Nice. So, yes, Amma, you're still out of work?
Yes, yeah, still hunting, you know, still job hunting.
Still job. You haven't listened to my show on a Wednesday, Base Classifies. I tell you, listen to
I'm
that show.
I'm always there.
You ain't listening, man.
I'm always there.
How you feel you want to work, you know?
You're
a qualified
please.
Man out there.
Persons huh? who have known me over the past 40 years
uh-huh.
would debate that with you. would debate that with you, Base.
Yeah. Wait, what did you used to do with CPEP again? URP?
With URP, Project Evaluation Officer.
Project Evaluation Officer. So where's this whole thing with the URP and the change? And because I've seen some people cutting grass all over, some over the place and stuff, especially by me in the West. So what going on with that? Nobody talking about that? What's going on with the workers? There's been reconstructed. What's going on with it?
Well, the boast is that 1,800 persons have been hired.
Mm-hmm.
From a group of how many centrum? 21,000.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that math does not add up, you know.
Right, okay.
Yeah. That is not in the best interests of the majority of.
So, what are all those people doing? Or you think you've been in contact with any of them?
Yes. Yes. Of course, many because as you know, I've been on radio before.
Uh-huh.
Before that, you know, with regard to concerns of. Workers' salaries, you know, workers' rights and that kind of thing, you know, because, you know. So while many workers in Trinidad and Tobago enjoyed close to updated salary increases, whether they were up to 2018 and they had a bargaining body and they had voices to speak with them, mm-hmm. we were working on 2007 salaries, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, those were the things, you know, those were the working conditions that I was on radio before. At this point, at this juncture in time, I mean, it's critical for many people because, as I said previously, there is that foreign group of people that come in and work for half the money, right? And they can afford to do that. You know, they can work, if Trini's working for the minimum wage, they can accept below the minimum wage. And be comfortable because it's not like how we live, you know. Sometimes it's like 15, 17 of them living in one room and they make one pot and they're able to survive in that manner, you know. We already have constructed lives, we have homes, we have mortgages and all this kind of thing. So persons are out there looking for employment and there is nothing on the horizon, you know, because, you know, every year... persons turn 18, every year persons graduate from UE, persons come out with skills, some sort of skill. It's tragic that some of these programs had been closed down, I believe, since last year. So,
when somebody come out of school, you just talk about somebody 18 come out of school, that what they need to do, go and work in URP and CPEP?
No, not necessarily.
Everybody will come out with 6-7 passes, but still.
Nothing was... URP and CPEP, nothing was wrong with it because, as you can clearly see, CPEP had a huge impact. You know, when you mm-hmm. When you drive through your communities and things, you would realize that something is missing here,
mm-hmm.
right? The place looks different, mm-hmm. and that gives rise to a host of not only health issues.
Right, but we also have something called the city cooperation too, and we've seen a sort of rubbish all over the place.
Right, and that is there for the mayor and they to manage, you know, that is there for the corporation to manage.
Something just wrong with Trinbegonians and the whole, boy. We just don't love this place, boy. Because if you really love this place, you want to see this place look better, boy.
Yes, well, you see, everything is management. And I think before we began here, I mentioned the fact that we have graduated a lot of educated dunces.
Mm-hmm.
Because some persons believe that after they get their degree or their certificate, it done, and all we're looking for now is money. They aren't thinking about serving the country in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time to put money in my pocket. I am 25 years old, I have a master's or something in this and that, and I would fall in the system. And I would milk the system for what it has, you know? And that is the problem. A lot of people do not work for us as how they should be working for us, you know?
Mm.
You know, and that is the problem, right?
So how do we fix that?
Well, the only thing to fix that is vision and leadership, right? Leadership controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the history of the world, the persons who actually lifted up a country and inspired a country was leadership. And that group of persons around them, you know, and proper management of that vision. Someone can have a vision and it just begins today. And because of no guidance, because of no structure, it just goes haywire. And we have a great political system in Trinidad. I don't know. The politics is not... The politics is not default. The institutions are not default. It's people that failing us. The persons that we appoint to head institutions, the persons who probably get into politics too sometimes, because, you know, we are full of parasites. Trinidad is like a whale with a whole bunch of barnacles on it that just, you know, need scraping off, because there are persons that just leech from the system, you know. And until we identify them for who they are, because most of them are recycled persons within the politics, you know. You know, whether you look at it on any side of the political fence, I'm not campaigning here for anyone, right? I'm being being a patriot here, because there is good and evil on both sides, but there are certain characters then who have made a career from milking the system, and some people may call them political grasshoppers. Now, each of us have the right to choose who we vote for. You know, like sometimes someone will say, but wait now, base, last year, you know, or 5 years ago, I hear you was really talking good about the PNM and now you're against. And somehow I believe persons saying those sort of things, or they say you're talking good about the UNC and you're against. No. We have the right to choose, because this is a democracy. Mm-hmm. And if we as a nation sit back and take licks from whether it's the party that we put in power or the party that someone else put in power, most of the time the persons are taking the most licks. Now on the outside, it appears to be the opposition, you know, and the supporters of the opposition. And in many ways, it may be that way. But on the inside too, especially with all these doubling and quadrupling of fees and thing, you know, contrary to what was promised, right? Everybody feeling that pain. Mm-hmm. So don't feel it. There are people inside too who are staunch UNC or people, you know, inside who, because many of the people, let me tell you something, what I hear on the ground now, what I'm hearing is that you have to remember there was a surge, like a tidal wave. Mm-hmm. Everybody win. Everybody going and win. The kind of thing. I can remember the gracious lady at the time. There was grace there at the time. Well, so I thought, and the lady said, no longer must the mother go into the grocery store and the child takes up a snack and she tells them, put it back. No.
No, but you should be able to tell them put it back or something. Any snack ain't good.
No, but the point she was making is that they would be able to afford the snack for the child.
All right.
And the talk on it, because a lot of persons who never voted before voted in this last election. There were persons who voted many times and did not vote. Could you remember the 100,000 because of their political grievance? That was the stats on the PNM side. And then you had a whole set of new voters. You had a whole set of persons within the party did not like how the last regime, not Ms. Beckles' regime, because this is a new type of leadership. Mm-hmm. The old leadership, they didn't like the attitude, they didn't like how they approached certain things, and they decided to switch because they were promised something. So I am looking, and I would not doubt base that many persons within those same areas that add up to, I think, close to 60,000 now, because it added up from various ministries and non-renewal of contracts and things. Many of them voted for this government for change, you know, because all are we going to win? That was the mantra, and what I believe the pain that people are feeling is not only the fact that 6 months has passed, 6 months have passed, sorry, and they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, you know, because that, contrary to what a lot of people may say about certain certain segments of our society, certain strata. A lot of people, it's frustrating to be home when you're accustomed waking up. It's frustrating to have to just be spending more than you're earning, Right? So you would get into this realm of borrowing. You may lean on relatives. A lot of people leaning on relatives. Right? A lot of people, the same lending agencies.
Institutions, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. They are calling people's phone every month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have a job to do. But you have to remember, because of how the system is in Trinidad and Tobago, persons at URP, CPEP, and forest training who did not have like permanent jobs who were unable to get without collaterals, who were unable to get small loans from the main banking institutions, had to turn to the ones that would charge you 40 cents on a dollar and give you the money quick, you know, because they know you're working and you know, you would see for the last X amount. But they would also be measuring that based on when election may be called next. And there's another factor people not looking at. When they're lending you the money, like if you start to work because of the culture in Trinidad and Tobago, that political culture with regard to employment, you know, and make for work, as some people want to call. I don't say make for work because I have seen people work, and it was essential work that persons were doing, because a lot of times, with regard to URP, when there's flooding, who you think going with their big boots and being called out all in the night to help rescue people and do all is they were URP workers, and nothing like that ever came out in the public. You know, you would not see someone posing for a picture, right? So what I'm saying, the fact like persons on the ground are feeling betrayed, right? Something needs to be done. There's a big issue in the Middle East now where they see oil and gas going up.
Mm-hmm.
The tragedy here is that, as far as I'm concerned, there was enough vision to begin a deal, right, with Venezuela, you know, the Dragon gas deal, which was brilliant, you know? But there was not, to me, enough vision to follow up through to that deal with regard to infrastructure, right? Because it's like the train. We are one of the few countries in the world that stop its train. People don't stop your train, right? You'll have buses after, you'll have airplanes, but you don't stop your train. The most you might do is modernize it because it is an efficient service, right? So we closed down our refinery. We did not modernize it. We did not, you know, upgrade it. So we closed it down.
And now our refinery is much needed with
much
all this oil.
Much needed. And that deal with Venezuela is much needed. So all the old Bacchanal talk and thing, but, you know, that was uncalled for and thing, you know. Because at the end of the day, we are small fish swimming in a big pool of sharks, you know, all the talk people thinking and we are, even our own region is a small fish. And one of the things based what I was looking at, people, now, when a prime minister, whether PNM or UNC, goes to represent our country, they speak on behalf of the country itself, of everybody, because you represent everybody. You represent everybody. So if you speak on behalf of the country, one of the things that must take place, they must have, regardless of Little Bacchanal and talk train across the aisle within parliament now and then, because, you know, sometimes people get emotional and things for certain things. But at the end of the day, the opposition and the government must have a good relationship to serve the interests of the people of the Republic of Trinidad.
I wanted to say that again for me. Say that again for me. The opposition and the
government must have a good working relationship in order to properly serve the people of Trinidad and Tobago.
Uh-huh.
And in this case here, from what I'm hearing on the ground, if an election were to be called now, the government would, the roles would switch.
You think so? Yeah.
Yes, I believe that, because one of the things that you can't do, according to Helon, people forgetting this is Trinidad, this is Trinbago. With all the thing, and sometimes we appear as if you could tell us anything or you could do anything to us. We are not stupid people, you know. We have a high tolerance for nonsense, because somehow we have a kind of carefree attitude, and we don't really group. We have not found that formula yet, or probably the formula is there, but we have not united and crashed the racial barriers. If we had done that, or anytime we do that, we would be a very, very, very powerful people, because Everyone has something to contribute. If one man does not contribute because of his race, or is not allowed to contribute, this nation is being robbed of a valuable resource that it doesn't even know of. Right? So at the end of the day, when I saw that walkout, and a government minister laughed at it, but I feel pain with those sort of things. Because the race right now, I believe, if you do the stats and you do a survey or whatever, it's so close, if an election were to be called, that the voice of the opposition is not a minority voice per se, you know. It's not. And when you look at the volumes that have been voted in tradition, it's not a minority to say, well, you know, it's only 100,000 people that have 10,000. Mm. So what if the opposition represents a huge voice? And if that voice is not allowed to be heard for one reason or another...
Well, if opposition voice is always allowed to be heard, but I mean, if the opposition weak or seems weak, how can they be heard? That doesn't make themselves be heard.
Weakness is relative in this context to votes in the House. That is where the weakness that
the opposition has to show people that they could gather the votes. To me, the opposition, no. Sometimes is just there.
It's a majority vote, you know. So it would have always been an impossible battle with regard to certain things, unless it requires a 3/5 majority.
But I do agree with you when, the government and the opposition are supposed to be working hand in hand to make things better, but because of our politics, it do always seem so, right?
It's terrible.
Right, and what people on the ground saying about the SOE and thing now?
Well, from what I'm hearing and what I gathered is that if the police service, now persons are understanding what is taking place here. Mm-hmm. If the police service actually is managed properly, because I'm sure that there are many competent and qualified high-ranking officers who have vision and ideas how to do things, you know, differently, you know, on the ground and all over the place. But if the service itself is managed properly, there would be no need for a state of emergency, because what can be done with a properly managed police service is what is being replaced by a state of emergency. But the state of emergency has more dire effects on us, you know, right? On our freedoms.
What way? I still go in here, then everywhere I could go. Oh.
Yes, but the day you bounce up some person, and let me tell you, this is real, the day that fellow here tap in Form 1, who is now on the squad that rided in the night and stop you, you know, probably you live in an area that may be classified as a under the tables also, and the day he bounce you up there, you have no rights. And he could tap the crap out of you. He could kick down your door without a warrant. He could plant a gun in you. He could do so many things. And that's just a small part of it. But at the end of the day, good policing, I believe, if there is good and efficient policing, now crime cannot be solved in a day. And there will always be crime. There would always be criminals. But that is why there would always be police. You understand what I'm saying? And we have to have a system in this country where the persons in the country trust the police enough to give them that kind of information for them to do their job. Right? Now, people fail to realize that the police service is a private entity. It is part of the national security because of its nature. So it gets a budget, it gets taxpayers' money so that it can manage its affairs. But it is a private entity. So it controls from the top to the bottom what it does. Yes, there's a police complaint. The authority for the police. What's that again?
A police complaints authority.
No.
What?
No, the not. I'm not the complaints. The one on top that elects a police commissioner. Right. But there's that body that selects a police commissioner.
Mm.
Right.
The Select Joy World Committee. Oops,
I know it, and it's just, you know, so many things passing through my head right now. But persons understand what we're speaking of, right? And at the end of the day, the mandate of the police, we are the employers and we employ the police to ensure that we can be secure, that we can walk the streets, and those that break the law would be brought, would be arrested, brought to, you know, prosecuted, and brought to justice, and the police have to work
the
with
police service commission.
That is it, right? The police service commission. So at the end of the day, there are certain expectations that the public has. And one of the things that had disturbed me some years ago, and I think it just went past like Vosh and person, just, you know, as usual, well, it happened, man, we and what we gonna do, boy? But that, that day, there was a day of total policing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can remember that day.
Yeah, it wasn't that day. Yeah.
Right. And that day came upon just came upon us like that. Now, from what I have learned over my years living on this planet, is that most coincidences are very well planned. So it was really an operation. I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah.
So it was it seemed to me, because I don't want to accuse persons of anything, mm-hmm. right? I'm not a fool coming up here shooting off my mouth.
Well, we're not SOE. I done warned you already.
Yeah.
I don't even want to have this conversation.
it is something. It is something that is relevant, eh? Because we are dependent on persons. We are dependent on persons to take care of us. Mm. And somehow there are persons, and you know, nothing is 100% holy here on this planet. And there are some persons who somehow work for us, and I believe lost their way. They have lost their way. And that is a dangerous thing for us, you know? So at the end
but
of the
what
day,
do you suggest we do? I mean, you keep right now.
No,
you
just management.
Keep spending
management. No. I'm
we have a commission. Right. We have a commissioner of police. We have
right.
This.
The government, mm-hmm. who employs on our behalf, because
the government has said they cannot tell the police what to do.
Base and I cannot go and speak to the commissioner of police at will, but the government can do it, and this is where politics comes in. The government manages our money. And distributes in areas for our benefit. So that bulk of the national security purse, which is our money, is going towards paying brothers and sisters. Some of them are our brothers, sisters, cousins, neighbors, and friends. Right? I have relatives who are police officers. So the public shouldn't believe I come up here trying to say, you know, bad thing about police. They're just nonsense. They are bad eggs that need to be weeded out, and the police need to do that. That is part of the jobs. But the interest of the people of Trinidad and Tobago is the mandate. And we live in a state that I believe, and I think many persons, because I've had these
discussions. But you just said that we have the best political system in the world.
Yes, and I also...
But it's not working. How can you have so many investors not working?
Because of people. And this is why I said the government need to do what you and I can't do, Base. They need to have a meeting with the opposition and with the police, and they come together and work.
I've been asking for that for 3 years now. It's not going to happen.
Well, let's keep asking, and probably it will. Let's keep asking, because the government, this government, some time ago was in opposition. Mm-hmm. And this government, right, and the rules...
But is this government going to get help from the U.S., man? The crime will stop, don't worry.
The U.S. has no idea. The U.S. Mm-hmm. can really help in many ways, but that would take legislation.
Really, trust me, the U.S. will come down here, just put some snipers here, there, thing everywhere, and just do what they have to do. Trust me.
You have to take legislation to do that.
Nah, trust me.
Right? Yeah. Or else, it's best we just unleash the Punisher.
But the man done wearing the Punisher on his sleeve already.
No, that sounds a bad signal. To be a
the man is wearing the Punisher, and they already like Punisher or the Punish.
Yeah, because the Punisher is a man that doesn't deal with law and
that's
order,
right. He no business.
That's what
we need.
You.
We need a real Punisher. This commissioner of police we have is a jokey Punisher. We need the real Punisher.
Yeah. Well, the real Punisher would be embraced by persons just as how they are embraced in the movie, yeah? Because the public, if you notice something, Batman is a man, right? Mm-hmm. That would be driving through and stopping crime and thing, and the public would love him, but the police don't like him.
Because
why? Because the police always have
this attitude.
Are you
doing police job?
No, it's not the police job.
Are you making the police look bad?
No, the police feeling bad about themselves because they are unable to do what he does.
But he's friends with the commissioner of police.
But he is friends with the commissioner of police.
Right.
So I look at Ian Allen, who the people trust and load with information. From the time a crime is being committed, anything, they go straight to his website or they call him. He is on the scene. He calls the police. And even within the service, I was saddened to see there are persons making remarks about Ian. And I said, but you all should hug up the man, because you and this man have the same enemy, which is the criminal, you know. You all serving. But human nature, human always have this thing. When he sees about me and somebody is doing it, affects with that person. And there is something wrong with that. So we need proper management. Once we have proper management and we have unity, what the government, who the majority voted for, is willing to be mature, sit down with the opposition, because there are many laws in the past that I saw that when the PNM was in government, the opposition blanked them, they didn't support it. But when the opposition came in, the PNM supported the same law that the opposition brought back that the PNM initially made. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there needs to be a level of maturity on the government side to sit and have a conversation, because this is not about PNM or UNC. This is about people. This is about the people of Trinidad and Tobago. And anytime it becomes personalized and becomes about party, I saw Ms. Prasad be said, poof, Vasant Pahat, and said, hey, how you could put country over party? She had it wrong. Because you have to put country first.
Mm. All right, partner. Put country first. A lot of things you're saying then that we've been talking over and over time and time again for years, but I don't know. Somebody's saying that is old talk. The government cannot tell the police what to do. Who told the police what to do with the list? Come on, fellas. We are not stupid out here, right, as you think. All right, so people saying that, as I said, that we'll talk. The government cannot tell the police what to do. So nothing going on. Work with nobody. I'm sitting down with the police. Right? People are very just numb and despondent out here.
Good afternoon, Bees. Please permit me 1 minute on your program. I would like you to highlight this problem that we are going through right now. We are the maxi taxis.
Oh, God, come now, man. We ain't talking about that right now. No, it's not fix it. No, it's, you know, I'll try and play that after. Well, after, please. Right? This gentleman sent a long message.
Good afternoon, Beast. So I'm listening to your caller and to your guests. Yes. And it's alarming that, you know, sometimes they dip their head in the sand and they totally oblivious and naive to the facts, right? Yes, oil prices have soared and we may benefit. But yet still, you're pointing out that the Dragon deal may have been a better deal. Let's back it up one notch. If PetroTrin was not sold, so, or closed down, for want of a better word, if PetroTrin's refinery was not closed down, what would our position have been with this surge in oil prices? Please answer that. Thank you.
And you can trust that, right?
Mm.
Yes, we did address that, because in the context of, okay, if it was upgraded, right, and the deal had gone through, we would have had an opportunity to make money, right? And that was the conversation. And this thing about burying your head in sand, everybody has an opinion. So I will not insult you to tell you that you have buried your head in the sand. It's just probably that you don't know. But I would not assume that you are somebody that just, you know, buried your head and letting things take place around. Yeah, I wouldn't call you, you know, I wouldn't refer to anyone as that. We have callers who would have a different opinion on many things, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I respect it. I think the last time when I was here, there were persons that called in and were very aggressive, you know, to some extent, and I thank them for the contribution, because now I know how they think. So, and that develops me. That develops you.
Right, so back to the workers' rights now. So what rights do all these workers have?
Well, when someone has been fired or the contract has not been renewed or whatever, they fall back into the position of human rights. Because workers' rights are really when you're employed.
But like if somebody know they're working on contract, right?
Mm.
You're working on contract, and let's say your contract is up. Like you say, right now, we're in March, Your contract up in July.
Yeah.
You'll be working, and you ain't trying to better yourself, trying to get another job, trying to do something.
A lot of them. It's the getting jobs. You can remember, one of the things that we need to look at, because of, it's not the political divide either, because this country is heavily divided on race. I can remember Kabla Pesad says a scene in, and I can quote it, it was in Newsday and some other newspapers, I think we got it too, when she was on the campaign trail with regard to the UNC leadership. Mm. And she told Vasan Bharat about the party before control that she said, and I quote what she said here. She said, "I am trying to get rid of the racist, the caste system thinkers and those that believe that they're entitled to in the party." And she said that on about three occasions, three separate platforms around the same time. I have that documented. I wouldn't come here and say something to put you in trouble, please. Right? Or the station, I would never do that. So that is very well documented. And what I'm saying is that between 2010 and 2015, because you know, I wrote that book, The Hidden Agenda of Race Relations in Trinidad and Tobago. And her saying that was a confirmation that serious racism and class and caste division, because of some people's belief, religious belief, some people racial belief, some people just don't like people for whatever reason. But because of that, there's resistance then for equality and for everyone to develop at the same time, based on being qualified. So there were reports, and I made many in my book, you know, and no one can challenge it. No one can, you know, it's irrefutable because the evidence was there in public domain. But there were persons who had to resign when the public made an uproar because of their racist statements, whether those statements were on social media or not. So let's say these people were sent home. And there are a lot of people, social media is a beautiful thing, you know, because what it did for Trinidad and Tobago is to expose all who have good and nasty things to say. And we see them come out abundantly, you know, since about 2010, 2009. Once, with the advent of social media, Facebook, TikTok and all that, especially Facebook, we have seen the expression of persons in this country that is shocking. But the beautiful thing is that we know that it exists, and we know how hard we have to work to unite our country. But these persons at home, right? These persons at home, it's an uphill battle to get work, because let's say I can remember something was said in the political sphere when the current prime minister was asked about certain communities and persons. You're not getting sent home and thing. And she said that, and I quote, "If Dr. Odi didn't care about his supporters, I care about nine. And to put the icing on the cake, and all right thinking citizen." Now, the all right thinking citizen was the icing on the cake, but the cake itself was I care about nine. And at the end of the day, I have seen what was the slogan for 50,000 jobs, where a lot of person, including myself, went and signed up with about five different ministries, carried your papers and sign up and thing. That was last year in August. October. That was October. That persons went to the stadium. The velodrome in Couva. Right? 50,000 jobs were promised at that time. What I saw, as I said, were 1,800 jobs. And I'm not saying that I'm not glad persons were selected in that 1,800 job group. But something is wrong, because this Bake for Work program, as persons had really classified certain URP and CPEP, that part of that is an insult, because there were many professionals working there and being properly managed, it served many constituencies and many regions. But to call it make for work, like if these people just are, you know, like, they, you know, just people have nothing to do and incapable of doing anything else and the society. No. There were many professionals, accountants, builders, engineers, you know, project evaluation officers as myself, right? And across the board managers. Things weren't perfect. But at the end of the day, all these people went home. CPEP, URP, forestry, and various ministries.
Right, so what are you doing now to keep yourself, sir, to pay your bills? Unless you have no bills to pay.
No. I'm doing small work, you know, because I'm qualified. I don't have a ready certificate, but I did plumbing for years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At that time, I lived in Gonzales in Belmont.
Right.
For about 6 years. So anything that I get to do, I do, you know.
You're doing plumbing?
Yeah, anything. Plumbing, painting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very good organizer. So if you have a storage or a storeroom, that's why many, I've sent out dozens of applications for warehouse manager, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, inventory manager, right? Because I specialize in that, right? So, you know, so anything like that, you know, that I'm called to do, because I'm not left alone. Right, there are people that I worked with in the past. There are people that I communicate with, you know, and there are many groups that I still have an input in this country, right? So that is what I'm doing, you know. But I need work, you know.
I need work.
Yes, you will not see me going to put up a GoFundMe. No, I will ask for a job, you know. I will ask for something to do, or I'm trying to put some cash together to. Because there is a business thing that I have in my mind, you know, a proposal, and you know I'm trying to get funding for it, you know. So I'm trying to scrape that money from here and there. You know, once I get out, I will be able to, you know, to do something.
All right, so well, boy. Well, thanks for coming in. Well, we hope you're going to tell us about your book there again. Your book that people can check out.
Well, I would like people to Google my name, Bernard.
Uh-huh.
That is YAWCHING, Yorching. And that book created quite a stir back in 2021. I launched it at the Kwame Ture Center in Lavender, by Brother David Mohammed there. He and his wife was very accommodating, and it was sold exclusively at RIK bookstores. Now, when the book came out, a two-page article was done, because the book really tracks a documented racist agenda from 1913 to now, where there is proof, and there is proof now. But, you know, I'm on this program, and I don't have that leverage to call certain names and do all that. But the book really describes a racist agenda, especially against Africans in this country. And all the tools and the institutions and all the plans that were articulated to oppress persons because some persons believe that they're superior to others, all the evidence is there. I can remember a very known, well-known religious organization throughout a two-page article, you know, a one-page article after my two-page article about the book, and they told people not to buy it, and by the evening all was sold out. It's on Amazon, but the book actually, and it speaks also not only of the racist agenda, but it speaks of nationalism, it speaks about our contribution, it speaks about there are races, yes, within certain races and religions, but they are very beautiful. And, you know, and good people within those same religions, because good is good and bad is bad, right? In any culture, language, or whatever. So the book not only focuses on a racist agenda against certain people, it also focuses on the fact that some people are not on that nonsense. And it is something that was preached for decades. It made money, because just as crime makes money, racism makes money, eh? Racism makes money. There is big money with it, because when you marginalize people, it forces the flow of finance to go in another direction. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So racism, just as crime, is a money-making thing. And Trinidad Tobago, I would like to say just what I said in the newspaper at the time, that I challenged the caste system, because I read Hinduism at UWE, right? I did a course of comparative religion, and it is one of the most beautiful religions you could ever think about. But the caste system destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
When when the Aryans came in from the north, I wanted to control based on skin and color.
All right, so well.
Right, so it's just about unity. The book is about unity, it's about information. You know, I thank you for today. I see you doing your hands on a sway in some one of them.
John, we just had a wrap it up. But sir, yes. I really do hope you get a job and that you all these people who went to CPEP get a job. I mean, I know that when we look around the place, the government has
to start some initiative and they have to be serious, because if they don't, the place is going to boil over. You can't let go people, raise fees, things getting harder. What are people going to do? Right? So,
The people should have been doing all the time, looking for something extra. You can't just be doing one thing. CPEP was not a lifelong career. Mr. Manning said that many years ago.
Yes,
you all have been making CPEP a lifelong career. It is not.
No, it is not.
It never was.
The persons that did that were some of the contractors that are being called right now out in front. But at the end of the day, CPEP was ready for 2 years that a contractor gets for 2 years.
Have people been working CPEP 50? I thought a man said we working for CPEP 18 years.
Yeah,
or you working CPEP for 18 years?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well, something was wrong with the system.
And when it comes back to based on management I was talking about, it came back to that. And this is what I'm saying. Right now we're in a crisis. The government needs to sit to the opposition and listen to their ideas. It's not about who scored more
points.
None
of them have any ideas, boys. I said I don't.
I believe both of them have ideas.
I have no ideas.
And I believe the opposition has a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we'll see a lot from them. I think they learn from the lessons and will move from strength to strength.